Ever since middle school, so for around like half my life almost, I guess, I've really struggled with the idea of gossip. I've been called a gossip, I've been on the opposite end of the spectrum and have been gossiped about, and I've just experienced a lot of conflicting feelings of guilt and shame around the issue, especially growing up as a young woman in a society that really villainizes gossip. And my mindset actually shifted a year or two ago when I was scrolling through TikTok and I saw a video where the creator was talking about the history of gossip culture in relation to the patriarchy. And I think it really struck with me because not only had I never learned about the history of gossip culture, but also it was the first time that I had ever heard of gossip culture in terms of female power as opposed to female weakness. It was incredibly eye-opening, but it was also kind of frustrating in the sense that I felt like I had been tricked by society to feel guilty about gossip when it really had these strong feminist roots. So in order to grapple with the complex relationship between women and gossip culture, I decided to talk to three women about their own experiences with gossip.
I'm Alexandra, I'm 19 years old and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Claire, I am 19 years old and I'm from Media, Pennsylvania.
I'm Alexa Zachariasen, I'm 19 and I'm from New Jersey.
I'm Maddie and this is Redefining Gossip Culture. Site Unbabel, which is dedicated to the deconstruction of various word origins. The word gossip actually comes from the Old English word godsib or godparent, and it was a term given to a woman's close female friend after the birth of her child. So it became this really powerful word that reflected this incredible bond really between two women. And that's kind of ironic to think about now because in modern society the word gossip has grown to have such a negative connotation, especially in relation to women. So with this in mind, one of the things that I was really focusing on in my research was how did this transition happen? So activist Sylvia Federici actually talked a lot about the complicated history of gossip culture and women in her book, which is Witch Hunting and Women. And she really defines gossip as a historical bonding tool that was utilized by women who were asked to stay at home all day. During the 16th century, the witch hunt movement arose because men were threatened by the ideas of females talking amongst themselves because they thought that women would rebel and turn their backs on the rules if they had the opportunity to meet and chat about their lives. Therefore, groups of women became targets for hatred and were called witches for simply congregating. Gossip was like this powerful weapon they had in a patriarchal society, and men were threatened by that. So during this time, actually, a lot of the justification for punishing women for gossiping came from the Bible. So I'm not super familiar with the New Testament, but in the book of Timothy, it says, I'm going to quote here, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things about which they ought not." So men could talk about amongst themselves, and it was not considered gossip, because they were talking about important matters. They were talking about the government and their jobs. However, since women did not have the same opportunities to get involved in politics or the workforce, their discussions were seen as idle, since they were discussing matters that the patriarchy deemed unimportant. One thing that I found really surprising was that, even though I've learned a lot about the witch hunt movement, I'm from Boston, I've been to Salem, I've read The Crucible, all of that, I really had never heard about this history and how gossip culture has really been intertwined with the witch hunt movement itself. And I was really surprised that the people I talked to also really didn't seem to have any knowledge of the history of gossip. Okay, so do you know any history of gossip culture just in general?
Not really. I don't think I know anything specifically.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone, I don't think the average person at all would know that gossiping was once like a powerful tool used by women and that men were scared of it. Like, that's crazy to think about.
So before we get any further, I really just think it's important to define gossip. I actually really like the definition that Claire gave me.
For me, gossip is just when two people are discussing someone who's not present.
So one surprising fact that I stumbled upon during all my research is that gossip actually is psychologically proven to bond people together by establishing trust. And that kind of went against all the negative connotations that I've grown up hearing. So a lot of the research on the intersection between gossip and social psychology has been spearheaded by Robin Dunbar, who's the head of the Social and Evolutionary Neuroscience Research Group in the Department of Experimental Psychology at the University of Oxford. So In his book, Grooming Gossip and the Evolution of Language, Dunbar refers to gossip as actually a form of social glue. He equates gossip to the social grooming practices of our primate cousins because it actually allows us to create and maintain social bonds and form groups of larger sizes. So at first I was a little bit surprised when I heard this because it goes against a lot of the connotations around gossip culture. But when I was thinking about it more, it actually made a lot of sense. Because when I'm sharing gossip with someone, what I'm really saying to that person is, I trust you. I'm telling you something that I wouldn't necessarily tell everyone, and I trust you with this sensitive information. And establishing that kind of trust with someone can actually bring you closer to them and establish a strong bond.
It is just funny how people gossip all the time, but I've always been told, like, as a kid, like,
that's gossiping what I think is so childish
and it's so petty. But, you know, that's only, and I think that way now because of what I've been told my entire life, but really, like, it's human nature, like, to talk about people and to talk about things you've seen and what you've heard and things that are wrong. If someone does something wrong, yeah, you're gonna gossip, like, you're gonna tell someone else.
Yeah, and that's actually has an evolutionary origin, because to be socially successful, our ancestors actually had to have information about others. They need to know who they could trust and who didn't. Yeah. And if you weren't talking to people, if you weren't in the know, then you can get really screwed over. You might not survive. You might not have children. So it's actually been wired in us through our, like, evolution to have to know about other people and share that information. Something that also came up in a lot of my conversations was that gossip not only served an evolutionary function to protect us, but it still protects us as women, especially.
Gossip can be, like, helpful, as women will say, you hear this guy is, like, a creep, and it's like, stay away from him. And it's like, yeah, that's gossiping about some guy, but maybe it, like, protects other women from some
guy that's actually creepy. A really good point. Like, it protects you.
It protects people. So in some ways, like, gossip may be, like, rumors and assumptions, but in some ways, it can actually help people out, like, learn about other people.
Gossip has been painted as this thing that's inherently bad, mm-hmm. when at the end of the day, like I said, I think it can be anything that you make it to be. And that includes warning other women when you find a guy creepy or when another girl is being really mean. Like, I think that gossip can be a great way to spread information as well.
In order to really understand the complex relationship between women and gossip culture, I also think it's really important to kind of dissect the connotations we have around men and gossip and kind of the language that we use as a society to describe men and gossip.
I've never heard someone ever say that, like, that guy's a gossip.
Yeah, men gossip a lot. Like, and it's just not as not acknowledged as much. Mm-hmm, and it's not seen in the traditional way that we envision gossiping, you know?
And also they use different words. Like, for women, they might call it gossip. For men, they might call it, like, networking or, like, talking. So, and, like, those are just, like, just the language that we use around, like, why it's considered gossip.
That's so true. Dude, like even thinking about here, like, how, like, me talking to, like, people about, like, some, like, friendship drama with someone, like, that's seen as gossip for me, but with guys, it's just seen as them, you know, unpacking.
Well, you don't think that, like, the leaders of the world gossip about each other? Like, I'm sure they do.
And it's whatever. We call it a conference. We call it a meeting. Yeah, like, a meeting, what is it, the difference between a conference and a meeting and people gossiping? I'm sorry, the matters might be considered more important at the end of the day.
But it's like, just what gossip. Is this foreign leader going to do? Are they going to send missiles? That's gossiping. But since it's men in power, like, it's, like, different.
So as I was wrapping up a lot of my research, one really big question that was kind of weighing on me was, where do we go from here? How do we kind of reshape and reframe this gossip narrative so that it's not so damaging for young women?
I really think that spreading that awareness about how gossiping is powerful could totally change people's perceptions, because I never had thought about gossiping being powerful until I heard that. And now that I know that, I really do think it's powerful.
You've given me a lot to think about, of how I have participated in gossip culture, how I have sneered at gossip culture, and how it actually is really important to our society.